This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning. Welcome to the August 12th version, that doesn't sound right now, August 12th episode
there you go.
Of A Biblical Response. And oh, Lord, we're so glad to be here. The Lord is doing gracious, big works in our lives and the lives of others, and especially in the role that he's given us to look at issues in the news, or at least one or two themes every program, through the lens of the Bible, which a lot of people aren't getting, and so they end up spending their days frustrated and anxious, and we're trying to help some of that. So
yeah, we want everybody to live in peace.
We do. Mm-hmm. But first, of course, my traditional job as moderator and host and producer and all those other things that I am is to introduce my co-host. It's always a great pleasure to be with you guys in the same room.
Thanks, David.
Super, you know, people of God. I just am so thankful, honored to be a part of this team. To my immediate right, not that it matters to you because you're listening, you have no idea what goes on here, is Keith Masters. Hey, brother.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Oh, I'm super, super. Keith is our donut guy, and he's brought some great donuts this morning.
Oh, we did. We brought donuts this
morning. And I was sharing with them the one donut in the only one in the whole.
The 12. Ladies like the donuts, though.
They do, yeah.
We're bringing presents.
Do you see my empty
That's
hands?
That's our secret.
See my empty secret. Hands? I got no donuts today.
Okay, well, I love the donuts.
Anna's on a spiritual quest today, which does not involve sugar, so we understand that.
But, David, I just, real fast, I said that I was going to say good morning to a new listener this morning, and it's been such a busy week. This was last week.
And
I completely forgot, so please forgive me if they tuned in and I don't remember who I was speaking to.
Well, we're glad you're here. Thank you for joining us.
They might be listening today, Keith, you if go. You want to, you know, just say something about that. Well, at any rate, and then the next person going around, and again, you can't see, I'm going around counterclockwise, is Stephanie Jacobson.
Good morning, David, and everyone that's listening this morning. We're glad you're here.
Amen. Amen. And last but certainly not least is Ann Limhoko.
The youngest one in the
school. The youngest one, that's right.
Don't tout that one.
By a significant amount of years.
Oh, boy.
No, actually, our guest who's going to be joining us on the phone is younger.
He's even younger. Well, and with that, I'm going to turn over to Ann, who's going to really introduce the topic for today.
Yeah.
And then she's going to turn over to Stephanie, who's going to introduce a wonderful guest we have who's coming into the program over the telephone.
Yeah. So we saw that there were three stories basically dominating our news lately. Okay, we talked about this on our call yesterday as we were preparing, and I'll make this fast, but we saw a theme that was throughout the three stories. The first story, and what's dominating the news every day, is how Texas House Democrats have fled their own state. And this happened on July 21st, and they're still, or July 21st, and they still have not returned, because they want to deny the state legislature the necessary quorum to vote on a controversial redistricting plan proposed by Republicans. And so they're gone, and they are preventing the Texas legislature from voting on this plan. That's the first story. And then also that constitutes what we're going to talk about later, which is called gerrymandering. And that's one of our topics. And then another big story is President Trump's announcement last week ordering the U.S. Department of Commerce to immediately begin on a new census count that will exclude illegal aliens. And lastly, President Trump, he gave his intent to federalize the D.C. police force, and that's creating a lot of havoc in the news. And so as we looked at these three main stories playing out in front of us, it brought up a larger issue we see displayed throughout, and that is the balance of powers in our government. And in all these scenarios, we see an individual or a group of individuals exemplifying power to their advantage. And we want to have a conversation about that and ultimately examine what does the Bible say about the balance of power in government. So we have a special guest joining us today for the first 20 minutes via the phone. And my co-host Stephanie is going to introduce him as it's her friend.
Yeah. And thank you, Anne. Yeah. This is really, truly an honor and a blessing to have this good, dear friend on A Biblical Response today, because as I was thinking about him last night and kind of what I would use as one word to maybe describe him, I would use the word integral. Mm. He has integrity that I have watched over the last 8 years or so. Mm-hmm. And so just a little tiny picture into his life. His name is Paul Kurtman. He is 44 years old or young. and we, from my angle, that's young. And he's had quite a full and productive life in his 44 years. Paul served in the U.S. United States Marine Corps from 1999 to 2003. Hmm. And then in 2010, he was elected to the Missouri House of Representatives for 8 years. That's Missouri, not Florida.
Even though he's a Florida resident.
Well, now, wait a minute. We're getting there. Hang on just
sorry.
A minute. Don't blow my cover here.
Sorry.
The Missouri Capitol is where actually our paths did cross. And in that Capitol, he chaired the committee on, this is chairing a committee. This isn't just going to the committee. This is, you have to be prepared for what's happening. And he's always prepared for those things. The Missouri Capitol is, he chaired the committee on downsizing state government, which, oh my goodness, we need more of that. Mm-hmm. He chaired the Ways and Means Committee, and he led major tax reform efforts for Missouri. Mm. So he did a lot of good work up there. He is currently the president of PR Kurtman Investments, where he manages investment portfolios and estate plans for his clients. Paul holds a master's in ancient and classical history with a focus on economic history. He's an author and a speaker, and he recently became very, very wise and moved to be with us here in the beautiful state of Florida. And he does reside in Pensacola, Florida, with his sweet and amazing wife, Ruth. They have five adorable, talented
Amen.
Children. So, Paul, thank you for taking time out of your day to join us. We are so glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm really, really glad to be joining you today. I'm really looking forward to this conversation, Stephanie.
Good. I'm so excited. So we don't get to see each other much, but I'm excited for you to tell a little bit to our listeners about your journey with Christ first, and we like to always ask that about our guests and kind of how you met him.
Sure. Well, it's the most important question anybody can be asked. It's the most important question anybody should be asking themselves. Mm-hmm. I will give you just a quick synopsis of my background. I grew up in a Christian home. My father was a pastor of my church. However, I got to tell you, probably like many Christians, you go to church, you go through all these motions, but it wasn't until I was 16 years old that the gospel really became more than, you know, a flannel graph Sunday school story for me. Mm-hmm. And I really became convicted about my sin and about how I've hurt God with my life and about how I'm responsible for Jesus having to be sent to the cross. And so I know that if heaven's perfect, it's not going to be perfect if I'm allowed to go. And so I needed a perfecter. And so I repented of my sins. I asked God to save me. And my life has never been the same since. It is my identity. I've done a lot of, I've done a lot of things in my life so far to age 44. And everything I've done, it's been my identity of who I am. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a child of God. And it's really helped shape my worldview and the way I respond and react to things, whether it's been in the military or it's been in politics or it's been as a husband and a father here in my family.
And I can say that that's how you've treated me as a friend as well. So thank you so much for that, Paul. That is right. The identity. I love the fact that you said that it's your identity that plays out in your life. Can you tell us a little more about your time spent in the Missouri State House and what your experience is you're able to talk about the issue of the balance of power today with us. And we're not going to be talking really about Missouri. We're going to be more talking about Texas and the nation. But that was a vital part of your testimony and how you see the worldview, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you read the Bible, you don't have to read too far until you discover that God is responsible for instituting and establishing a few institutions. The first is the family. Secondly, chronologically speaking, he established and ordained government. And then finally, he has established and ordained his church. And the way I feel about government is I believe that since this is an institution that God established and ordained, mm-hmm. it is not something to be taken lightly. I think that there are ramifications for eternity for the way that people behave and the way they govern. Mm. And so not only is this an Old Testament where we find its original institution, but you see that in the New Testament when Paul wrote to the church at Rome in chapter 13. He talks about, you know, the purpose of government. He talks about being subject to our leaders, but then he also talks about the purpose of our government and the purpose of leadership, to wield the sword, to execute justice. Mm-hmm. One thing that I think is very interesting is in the Bible, you don't see legislators being appointed. You see Moses choosing judges. You see that picked throughout the Old Testament. But Jesus, or God, is the ultimate lawgiver. And so the way Christians interact with their government is of very high importance. And it is true, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. However, while we're here, we have a few things that God gave us that we need to be good stewards over. Mm. We need to be good stewards of our families. We need to be good stewards of our church, fulfill the Great Commission. But we also need to be good stewards of our government. And America is so special because our government was instituted and established for the sole purpose of keeping people free. And so we have to be very, very concerned with the degree to which our representatives and our executives in government are doing just that, keeping us free. And so the balance of power across the U.S., when you look at the way it was established in our national constitution and in our state constitutions, it's pretty universal. It's not exclusive across all the states, but it feels almost universal with very few exceptions. You will have a bicameral legislature. You'll have a governor that acts as the executive, and you'll have a judiciary branch. What's interesting about our Constitution is our Constitution at the federal level leaves up to the states exactly how they want to organize their government. The only thing is it has to be a republic. That's in Article 4 of the U.S. Constitution. There's a guarantee that every state will have a republic. And so whether they have a bicameral or unicameral legislation, however the states want to work it out, they have that right, which is why the topic of what is happening in Texas is so relevant, because whether or not they should redistrict is one question. But another question to ask is, are they operating within the parameters, within the scope of both the federal constitution and their own state's constitution? And you can't have two people that disagree and they both be right normally.
That's true.
And when you have a constitution, much like the way Christians live, we should have everything measure up and line up with the Bible itself, not just what people say, not just what spiritual influencers on social media say or somebody in your Bible study, just like the way Christians should live by holding the Bible and the words of Christ as a standard for us. As citizens of America, we need to look to the Constitution, not just the leadership of either party or some social media celebrity who sits in Congress and is seeking to garner attention and build their own brand.
That's right.
We have the documents. We have the Constitution.
We do. It is solid, isn't it? It was written very solid, and we only have to go back to that to find that. And then it is rooted in the biblical principles of what God set up in the beginning of time. One of the things that I want to ask you to go back to, one real quickly, and then I'm going to turn it over to Ann and Keith and let them ask some questions that we've got. But would you just give us an explanation of the word republic? Can you give us a succinct
definition?
Yeah, just give us, because this is something we talk about a lot on this radio show and the Constitution and all of that. But the republic is something that people don't understand, and it would be nice to hear what your explanation is.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you asked that particular question, because we use words like they don't mean anything today, but words do have meanings. And it's very important that we pay attention to the meanings of words, especially when they're being used by people that hold seats in power. So republic, what a republic is, it is governance that is governed according to the rule of law. And it's not a democracy. Mm-hmm. A democracy is rule by the majority. Mm-hmm. A republic is rule by law. Now, we do use the democratic process in order to administer our republic, but that does not make us a democracy. We are still a republic. And this is so important because there was recently a representative in Texas. I've heard this for the last several days because of what's happening there. Everyone's talking about protecting our democracy, protecting our democracy. Well, you can't protect a democracy because a democracy is the rule of whoever just happens to be in power, side collects the most votes. You can't protect that because it's very arbitrary. But you can protect a republic because that's governed according to the law. And if it's true that everybody is to be submissive to the law, nobody's above the law, well, then you can protect a republic.
That's
right.
But
you cannot protect a democracy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's a great explanation, Paul.
Yes. And we need to continue to remind people of this because you will hear democracy. And it just pains me when I hear that from leaders and they don't understand. I am not as well versed as I should be, but if we don't get the basic meaning of what our government is, then we've already started from a bad place. And so we need to be careful to have those words used correctly. Thank you, Paul, for that. And I know you've got some more questions. Why don't you go ahead and start with the next ones because
so Paul, we're gonna now bring it into what's happening in Texas. And before we go into what's happening in Texas, can you first talk about the issue of redistricting and people call it gerrymandering? Can you please explain what that is first and then what your take on what is going on in Texas? I know you've been following that very closely.
For sure. So the states reserve the right to draw their own congressional districts. And the way most states do this is most states will wait until after the census is taken because that's when you get a much better idea of how many people have moved into your state, where they've come from. You know, there's population shifts, and the census normally does a pretty good job of helping us make sense of that. So historically speaking, we've gotten into this tradition of having our state legislatures redraw federal congressional districts after the census. Now, depending on which party is in power, in Florida, Republicans have the House and Senate the same way where I'm originally from in Missouri. It's that way in several states. And so you will have Republicans, or if the Democrats are in charge, the Democrats will do the same thing. They will try to draw districts that check two boxes. The first box is whenever they draw their district lines, they have to be consistent with federal rules. So there are federal laws that outline how the district should be drawn. Like, for example, you don't want to completely just cut off a community. You don't want to draw a district line right down the center of a small town. You want to keep those people together.
Yeah.
Because you want them together both with their representation in Congress, because they're already together with their local leadership. So you want to, as best as you can, you want to make sure they stay together. So we have federal laws. That's one box you have to check. The second box that Republicans and Democrats try to check is kind of this unwritten rule, but it makes total sense. They want to draw district lines that preserve their party's seat in Washington, D.C. And so this is nothing new. But where gerrymandering comes into play, and what gerrymandering is when you get very creative with your ability to draw these district lines.
Yeah.
So that way you can just capture people in little pockets all over the state and somehow justify that they're in the same district. A perfect example of this is the district lines in Illinois. There's several districts that you look at and you're like, this is not the same at all. Like, these people have nothing in common. You know, when you have a district line that travels 300 miles from the top of one state down to the bottom of the other state, you have to scratch your head and say, the whole idea of representation is you want to keep some homogenous groups together. so that way they can find general representation together. So if you draw a district line that has people living in the inner city New York and you somehow connect it to people living in the country in upstate, people would say that's clearly a gerrymandered line. You're not trying to keep people together. You're trying to keep only your party together.
And Paul, why do they not use just the county lines? I mean, why don't they? What is the problem with that? Is there mm-hmm. something that I understand? Yes. I understand the gerrymandering part of it and why they take like from Kansas City all the way out into a rural area. It distorts the numbers. I get that. But why is there not just a, you know, county lines are there already set up?
That's true. But in some states and in many highly densely populated mm-hmm. areas, you'll have cities that sit on two counties. And
Got
so
it.
If you just use the mm-hmm. county lines, well, then at that point you are dividing people that have a
okay.
lot in common because they all belong to the same community. They work at the same place. They all vote for the same mayor and same councilman. I'll give you a couple examples. If you go to St. Louis, Missouri, you'll find that the city of St. Louis goes out into St. Louis County, what we call St. Louis County, still uses the St. Louis address, but then it becomes a little less populated the further you go out from St. Louis. But out in there, you have other pockets like St. Charles, Chesterfield. You have some other larger cities that kind of sit across two county lines.
Okay.
So you have to. This is why the census is kind of important, because it kind of allows you to understand the demographics at a deeper level than just looking at county lines or even just city lines in some case.
Okay. Well, can we kind of go into what is happening down in Texas? Can you give us the overview of that? I know we're coming down to closer to the end of the hour or the half hour, and I hate that, but let's see if we can't get into that and do a little bit of explanation for our listeners.
Sure. So right now in Texas, the Governor Abbott has called the Texas legislature into a special session. So the Texas legislature has already had their normal session. The Texas governor has called them back and said, hey, I want you to come back to the state capitol for the sole purpose of redrawing our congressional district lines. The Democrats are saying, no, we haven't had a census. You can't do that. And so in order to prevent this from happening, all the Democrats have left the state. I say all, but it's not all of them, but many of them have. And what the Democrats are doing right now is they're using this as an issue really to try to spin a political narrative that they're on the side of right and Republicans are on the side of wrong. The problem with their narrative is they are wrong, because the Constitution does not require state legislatures to draw congressional lines only after the census. It's not in the Constitution when the congressional lines should be drawn. In fact, you have one representative named Gene Wu who got on national television and mm-hmm. said the Constitution tells us we can only do it after the census. Well, that's not true. You have another state representative who said that this is such a pivotal issue, not just for Texas, but for the whole country, because we need to protect our democracy, you know, what we were just talking about. He said democracy is more than the Constitution. It's a covenant. And I just want to interrupt real quick to say this. Normally, historically speaking, these positions of power, of authority, have been platforms for people that have usually had a high intellect and the courage to lead. But America has been dumbed down for decades and decades and decades. So now you have a 28-year-old state representative in Texas who has two master's degrees, speaks from a position of authority, and says democracy is more than the Constitution. This is, and I'm not trying to be mean, but this is a very sincerely dumb statement.
Yes.
The people that are often in these positions of power now are significantly dumber than the people who held these same positions 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. The reason we have a Constitution is specifically for the purpose of prohibiting and avoiding the trouble that comes with having a democracy.
Yeah.
So the left right now is trying to spin this whole narrative that the Republicans are wrong. They're trying to take advantage of the people. But the thing is Texas already had this fight back in 2003, and they won, and they won in courts. And in 2006, there was a U.S. Supreme Court case that the Supreme Court ruled that states can redraw their congressional lines whenever they want, as often as they want. It's all up to the states. And this is entirely consistent with the Ninth and the Tenth Amendment of the United States Constitution.
Wow.
You know, Paul,
I think that what is happening, I think that the Democrats are grasping at straws to try to demonstrate in one way or another that they are on the side of the American people. Mm-hmm. And so while they haven't been able to claim the moral high ground when it comes to allowing school districts to convince your children that they are transgendered without your knowing or without your permission, they've lost that fight. They've lost so many of these other social issues. So I think that what's happening right now is the Democrats are really trying to rally around what's happening in Texas to make it a bigger issue. And they're trying to turn it into an issue where they have moral superiority, which they don't.
Yeah.
And they don't even have academic or traditional or constitutional superiority, but they're trying their best. And you see people like J.B. Pritzker from Illinois.
Good.
You see people like Gavin Newsom from California.
Yeah.
Both of them riding in like the white knight in shining armor, like they're going to come in and save the day.
Right.
But this is political posturing.
Oh, it's not funny, but it's true.
Because they're both trying to be candidates for the Democratic election of president in 2028.
Yeah, and Paul, you had, this is Keith, you had spoken, you brought up Illinois, and now you just brought up Governor Pritzker, who is the governor of Illinois. In September of 2021, they did a non-consensus based on a non-census population estimate. They gerrymandered the state in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they did the census came out, they tried to redistrict the state.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, right, that the maps were later subject to the federal lawsuit that was decided in December of 2021, and that the maps, decided for what they decided without the census in 2021, in May of 20, in September of 2021.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I got a little.
Governor J.B. Pritzker went on a late night talk show just last week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he announced to the world that their gerrymandered districts are not the product of Democrat gerrymandering. He said that those congressional districts were drawn by an independent commission. And that was just a bold-faced lie.
Really?
In
it is. I'm from Chicago.
It's the state
I was there.
Legislature that draws the congressional districts.
Wow.
So it's an independent commission that draws the state house districts. But the federal districts that are highly gerrymandered, that is a product of the Democrat state legislature. So this is why it's so important for people to be brought up to speed on the facts and the reality. And whenever a politician or somebody who wants to get in front of you with a microphone and get your support, whenever they start speaking, it's a good practice to just take the approach that this is a used car salesman trying to sell you their own personal used car.
No offense
to used car salesmen, but I think you understand what I'm saying. We have to be skeptical when these people get up to speak because they are celebrities and legends in their own mind. And do they think we're stupid?
Good.
Yes, they actually do.
They do,
tell you stories from my own experience in the state house.
That's what I was just going to say.
We need to line everything up with the Constitution and with the reality of law and the way that these processes work and not just take these people's word for it.
This is Olympic-grade obfuscation.
they gave
out gold medals.
It's hypocrisy at its best here.
It is. Yeah. Paul, we are so thankful that you've come on. I hope and pray that you will come back and see us again. I know you're getting ready to hop off and get on to another call for yourself, but what an honor. Good grief. You have got so much information that we haven't even tapped into some of the questions that we talked about yesterday. So I hope and pray that you will come back and talk with us again at some point. Do you have anything at the end here that you just kind of want to leave with the listeners?
Well, I'll just tell you, I would love to do it. It's important for Christians to be involved in the stewardship of their government.
Amen.
And as my drill instructor in the Marine Corps used to say, it's a thinking man's game, and Christians need to be masters in the art of knowing how to think.
Amen.
And our country needs us to do it, because the stewardship of our nation and our freedoms on the line And we have more opportunity to evangelize and propagate the gospel of Christ in America than any other country in the world. And if we lose it because of our own laziness, then I think that we're going to be judged for that. So if people want to find me, they can go to paulkirtman.com. Mm-hmm. I do some writing from time to time. So they can go there and read about anything else I'm writing, spiritual or political. But thank you so much for having me on today.
God bless
thank
you, Paul.
Thank really you, Paul. Really appreciate so it, my friend.
Yeah. Talk
God
to
bless.
You soon.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Cool. That was a great.
He was an excellent.
Oh man, yeah. I'd love to. He has so much knowledge. I'd love to bring him back on down the road, and we hit some of these points that he's conversing in.
He has been a wealth of information in my life, and given me a lot of direction, not just with my personal finances, but also with the political realm. Mm. Man, I met him back in 2007. I think. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a weird meeting. I just walked into his office. I felt like God was telling me, go see Paul Kirtman. Mm-hmm. And somebody had said his name several times. And I walked in there. And at first, his LA was like, no. And then all of a sudden, something happened. And the mm-hmm. Lord just opened up the way. And we have been friends ever since. So he definitely is a good go to when we need Amen. When we need more help with
and
that.
And I thank you, Stephanie.
Yes.
And you both you and Ann joined up as a team yesterday to talk to him and get him set up. And I'm really grateful for that.
Thank you.
We're going to do we're going to take a little break. The only one break we're going to take this hour.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, you may want to call in, and you're welcome to do that. The number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And I'll mention it again when we come back. It's not going to be a long break, just maybe about 2 minutes. We will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
And welcome back to Biblical Response. Wow, that was a tremendous first half hour of the Paul Kurtman and his from his experience as a man of God and as a former legislator and a man that really loves God and loves America and has done a tremendous amount of study in government. And
he really has. It's just his wealth of information is kind of overwhelming. I've got a few men in my life that are that way, and I kind of sit there with open eyes and go, okay, this is a lot. But you get bits and pieces of what they're saying, and then, you know, you'll get more from other people and more from other people, and so then you get to go back to the Word of God. And Paul would tell you this as well. Mm-hmm. Don't believe me. Go to the Word of God and know what it says.
And the Word itself calls us back to it.
It does.
To prove everything. And that's kind of where we're going to go right now is we're going to look more closely at the Word of God as it pertains to government.
Yeah, and he mentioned Romans 13, and I think we were talking about it before we even went on the air us. And one of the things I love, it says, "For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." And we think that we have so much power in this nation, and we do. God has graced this nation with this beautiful way of governing. And it was kind of an experiment almost because it had never been done, you know? Mm-hmm. And so one of our founders said, "What is it, a republic or, you know, democracy?" And, well, it's a republic if you can keep it, because it was such a new way of governing. But it has proven itself, and it has proven that it can be taken down when we are not looking at the biblical principles and the Word of God and recognizing what God set forth.
Amen.
So
one of the biblical imperatives that pertains to the work of government, and of course the Bible expects those who lead in government to be honest, to have integrity, and honestly to be listening to God for guidance.
That's
because
right.
God is over all of this.
Yeah.
Going to Proverbs 16:12, and this is just, I love this, it's a pretty clear and direct statement. About now the word kings here, because they had kings in that day.
Of course, leaders.
But all governmental leaders, says it is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. God's righteousness.
God
allows, leadership in general.
You know, and we, that even in our own families, I mean, you can take that all the way from the governmental, you know, presidency of the United States, all the way down to fathers in their homes or mothers with their children or pastors in their church. I mean, leaders in general need to be looking back to the righteousness of God. And if we're not,
yes,
then we're already off base, right?
And it's been established that the key points that we were looking at in terms of the issue in Texas, which again is not limited to Texas.
No, it's everywhere.
The desire to manipulate the law into your favor. That's pretty much a human sin thing, right?
Yes.
It's actually a form of theft, if you think about it. And that's
Yeah, 1 Peter 2:16 says, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil." And that's pretty much what they're doing.
That's a great verse.
That is, right? That's what's going on right now.
When they are leaving the state, that just blew my mind when I heard about that, because I'm thinking, stay and fight. What are you doing? But they're showing their authority by leaving the state. And obviously there's other authorities that are saying, hey, we're not going to let you back in. We're not going to, so they're trying to figure out what they're going to do to correct this. But just abandoning your people, how is that leading?
It's part of a whole agenda, as Paul talked about. You know what I mean? Pritzker's now on it, and so is Gavin Newsom's already been on it. But they want to run for president, and they want to get a bunch of people following them. It's very sad.
Well, when you look at, if I may be so bold as to take what the Texas Democrats are doing and leap into the larger expression that we see when the left is involved with something when they want something, but they won't debate with you because they have nothing to debate with, so they leave, or they instead of provide, they have no resources, so I'm willing to debate, but what they're going to do is they're going to speak over me, they're going to yell at me, they're going to call me names, and then ultimately they're going to walk away.
That's what I was just going to say. They don't even...
And that's a practice.
Engage with you. You have to have conversation if you're going to make an effort to make changes. So it's almost like I'm taking my ball and going home.
This is the problem.
It's not funny.
I tried to say this before.
I'm going to read this. Go for it. Yeah. Thank you, Keith.
But here, in September 24, 2021, based on non-census population estimates, the Democrats went to the House, right? And they did. Gerrymandered the districts.
Are you talking Illinois? Right?
Illinois,
with Pritzker because he was on Colbert, right? Okay. He's making a joke about it, and he's the one that invited the Texas Democrats, to the state of Illinois.
Yeah,
so he invited them up, right? Okay, so he's the one that's inviting them. And it says, following the release of the census data in August, the legislature reconvened to develop and approve a revised map. So that had to be from the Republicans. They might have brought that in. That's what I'm thinking. Mm. I mean, but then it says the maps were later subject to a federal lawsuit that was decided on December 30th, 2021, with the maps enacted that were originally from September 24th when there was a non-census estimate. Mm. So they went back. So they are doing exactly, they did something back 10 years ago or 2021, 4 years ago, and then they're saying that it's not allowed.
Yeah, it's confusing to me. And confusion is obviously not of God. I mean, that's a typical answer there, but it is confusing when you start putting things.
It's about power for them.
It is about power, and it's always a power struggle, isn't it? It's always a power struggle.
Just talking about gerrymandering in general, the Bible emphasizes the principles of fairness and justice and equal treatment of all individuals. So what they're doing is wrong. You know what I mean? What they're doing is wrong, and they're trying to favor for them. And it's got the whole Texas state in havoc. They don't have a quorum.
Well, that was the thing that happened in Missouri when I was up there. And this is what I very first got involved with political things in Missouri was this redistricting gerrymandering. I didn't understand it to the extent that I needed to, but I was trying to get people to know that this was going on and that we needed to vote against it. And the problem is that the IP reform, which is initiative petition, which we just did with Florida with the Amendment 4, and we defeated the abortion thing, but it's the same process. And so there's so much wrapped up into this that the general public, like myself, doesn't always understand the processes. And so you need to find someone, if you're a listener, someone like Paul, go on. Paul Kirtman, was it paulkirtman.com?
Yep.
And go on and listen to where he's going to be speaking, either on a radio. He does podcasts from Missouri. And find someone you trust that is more knowledgeable than yourself or myself or any of us sitting in this room. And find what you can believe according to the Bible and make an effort to be, you know, knowledgeable about these things, because, or at least aware. And so when these things start coming up in the radio and on, you know, in the national news, you can start to have an opinion that has something to back it.
Yes.
So,
but you got to go to the truth of the Word of God, which is absolutely our ultimate standard.
Yep.
Paul talked about, you know, don't go to social media. And we need to be stewards of critical thinking.
That's it.
I mean, we can't just believe everything that's told to us.
That's right. What he ended with was the thinking part of it, didn't he?
And for Christians, we have to, I've spoken to a lot of Christian folk over time about these issues, and most Christian folk understand that the importance of the Word of God, and that going to God for guidance in all things, the Word of God applies to all circumstances, and especially government, because of the impact it has on the people.
Absolutely.
But there are many people, let's face it, the people that we're struggling with who are in power, do not care for the Word of God. They're not going to study it.
Mm-mm.
They don't want to know God or the people of God. In fact, they disdain.
No, because both. They want to be God. They want the power.
Right. They want the power. So ultimately, and the reason why we're focusing on this always in this program is the Word of God is crucial. It is prime. It is key.
Mm-hmm.
And that wherever you happen to be in your faith walk is that you have to get back to the Word of God regularly, where the Bible itself calls us to be faithful. But we also know throughout biblical history that there are consequences that will be meted out to nations and people who do not listen to God,
mm-hmm.
right? There are consequences. Israel, their history, you can
look
see, is full
Old
of them.
Look at the Old Testament.
But Amos, I was going to Amos here. Love this. Amos starts in verse, it's chapter 5, starting in verse 11. And this is Amos, the Word of God speak through Amos to the leadership of Israel. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, meaning poor, you know, very bad government, and you've built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You've planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy at the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent at such a time, for it is an evil time. And then seek good and not evil, that you may live, says the Lord. The God of hosts will be with you, as I have said. But the consequences are, if you don't do that, God is not, you have no favor from God. In fact, you're going to have to live, you and the people that follow you are going to have to suffer the consequences of not listening to God and not serving him.
Well, and then that falls out into the Christian realm, because there are non-believers and people that aren't following God. We have to live underneath their rule.
Yes.
And we fall underneath those consequences. But God blesses. It's amazing to me a lot of times when there is someone in power that is not godly, that the Christians are truly a light in that darkness. And it becomes something that you would have never imagined that God could have brought out of that darkness, but it is eternal life that usually happens and flows out of this horrible thing that may be happening in the nation. I mean, we're facing some really rough times here in this nation. I mean, we're facing identity crisis because we're not going back to the Word of God. We mm-hmm. are facing. He said, my identity is in Christ first.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. that's what flows out of Paul's mouth. And that's what we should be thinking. I'm not saying Paul's our leader, but he is a leader in this. And he goes back to the identity of Christ, and that flavors my identity, and I then carry that identity as well.
Mm-hmm.
And am I perfect? No. And I know that Mr. Kirkman would probably say the same thing about himself. Very humble man. I mean, I'm telling you, their family, if the homeschool family, they are just amazing, and the kids are so talented. I was just at their house the other day, and they were playing the piano and doing poems and just all kinds of fun little things. So so thankful for men that will step and lead. Anne?
I just want to say that the Constitution, which Paul talked about, mm-hmm. okay, it's where our country was founded upon the principles of the Constitution
mm-hmm.
that were given by God to our founding fathers because they sought the Lord.
Yep.
Think about it. They all were in a room with 13 different agendas. They had the Virginia plan. They had the Massachusetts plan.
Yep.
They had the New York plan.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only by God's guidance that this country was even founded. And I want to read this because James Madison is one of our founders. And they knew that man has the power to overstep bounds. They knew about the depravity of man.
That's
so
opinion.
They created our country to have limited powers. And we, the people, all four of us in this room mm-hmm. and everybody, we are the ones who have to keep them in check. This is what James Madison said. The Constitution is a limited one, possessing no power not actually given, and carrying on the face of it a distrust of power beyond the distrust indicated by the ordinary forms of free government. So what we're doing here at WCNO is we're checking what's happening. We're checking mm-hmm. the people. Mm-hmm. And it's because of
how men can get. We are sinful men. If we are not under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and saved by the Lord, then we have the tendencies to be so selfish and to do what's happening in the Texas house. But we need to check them, and that's what we're doing today.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
amen.
Good.
I was, excuse me. It's always a byproduct of breathing, right? It's just, but I don't want to stop, you know.
Yeah,
so.
No, please don't.
But, and I was thinking earlier on, we were talking about those, there are those times when people have to live under in a government that is not righteous.
Yeah.
And frankly, you know, if we're honest and we look back at our most recent history, the last, in many ways, in the last decade or so, there have been serious, I mean, many egregious decisions made at high levels of government that have not been favorable for the people. And it's not been favorable for the nation as well. Last 4 years of the previous administration also. But, and the Lord led me, Keith, and I'm pointing to you, because Psalm 91, which was when we first met you, when you came to connect with us several years ago, and God opened up an opportunity for you to be on the air with us, the little program you had, it was based on looking at Psalm 91.
That's right.
And
that's
I good. Think if anyone today wants one biblical reference, as many others, but this one is so good, if you want to know how God takes care of his people when they are under oppression, Psalm 91 is the psalm to go to.
Yeah.
And he will take care of us. The leaders, they have to suffer.
And I think I have heard so many people bring that psalm out. That psalm literally saved my life one night. Literally saved my life. It came to me, and it is. Of course, the Bible is life saving, right? I mean, that is it. Mm-hmm. But God sometimes will bring a scripture, and Psalm 91 has been it's been a stronghold for a lot of people, stake in the ground. So thank you for bringing that back up. And I did not know that story, Keith. I'll have to listen to that story sometime.
I know. You got to share that.
Yeah, it was during COVID when I was out on the street, and the Lord told me to start reciting Psalm 91.
Oh, wow.
And I wound up at the station here.
What?
The Lord led him.
I never knew about it. It was just amazing.
And it actually became
look it up in Google and come here, or...?
No, oh no! This was like I had questions what God was trying to tell me.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And I made a phone call to a pastor, and then the pastor gave me another number,
Then
that guy gave me a number, and it just it led me right here.
You know, it's funny you're saying that, and God led you here, and I would say that to our listeners today. I know that sometimes we get so kind of confused and bumble-brained as far as, oh my gosh, this is way too much information. But just like what you just did. You made a single phone call. You listened. You were obedient. You made another phone call. And when we do this with the government things, it seems overwhelming. But if you just take it little by little, you heard a lot of good information today. I know we had a lot of good information a couple weeks ago with some another representative from Texas.
Yeah.
And so little by little, you know, take in what God is giving you as a listener through a biblical response. And we would love to have feedback from you all and know what your thoughts are. Give us an email. David, if you could give that email address, that would be great.
You can reach the station through our station emails. It's WCNO@WCNO.com. That's WCNO@WCNO.com. And you can send us an email and under the subject line, put a biblical response, so we'll know it comes to us. But we'd love to hear from you, pro or con, or maybe you're in the middle somewhere.
You know, David, I'm just wondering why the Republican Party, or you know, with the issue that's going on in Texas right now, why they haven't brought to light all the times that the Democrats have gerrymandered their states and brought it to light, you know, exactly what occurred, that this is going on now in Texas, and why is there such an uproar from the Democrats who are responsible for what they did in Illinois and what's going on in California? Because what they did is they took the power away from the voters is what they did.
Well, Texas is very... very conservative. Right. So this is a power move. Paul said that in the beginning. Yeah. Right. This is a power move. Right. And they're learning from other states such as California and Illinois. And it's a quote unquote, if they can push that in Texas, there's a lot of power there in Texas if they can get that.
They're losing. So. Paul also talked about they're losing on issues that people are liberal are even disagreeing with their party.
Right.
Like
right.
with the gender identity. It's like an 80-20 issue. They're losing on issues, so they're grasping for anything. And that's what is happening right now.
Yeah. It's almost
and people don't see it, though. It's
almost
so sad.
A bullying well, of a sort.
Yes, it is. I agree.
I hate to say, I'm going to say this.
Uh-oh.
And I have been, okay, all right, I know. Willing to be controversial, but Paul had said something early on, I'm keying up on that, when mm-hmm. he talked about the government dumbing down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think that what he just said is true for the nation in great part, because I don't know, I'm going to say...
They're acting like children. Right?
Well, they're acting yeah, like basically. Children, but the point is, how many people really care? I'm just throwing this out. I don't know the numbers, but in talking, hearing people talk, my own conversations I have with people, hearing responses in various other venues from people, or lack of responses, is what we need. And what we need to see is not just the church coming around, okay, and getting out, crawling out from behind their pews and getting out into the political sphere, but also as the average voter, mm-hmm. whether you're a believer or not, you know, most people just throw up their arms and say, I don't know what's going on, and I don't really care. And that's part of the problem. So when you have people like the, you know, on the Democratic side, let's say, and there's a lot more of them than the other one, but, you know, they're pushing stuff. They have no right to push it. There's no truth in it. Why isn't there more public outcry? Because people themselves
don't know. We don't know. And that gives the power
that's
to
so
the government
sad.
Instead
it does, it gives
of the
power
people.
To
and that is hard to reconcile with that I did that when I was younger, when I had little kids. I was not involved. And that's just, that is the pure truth of it. I was busy. I was, excusing myself and knowing that I didn't have time.
Yep.
And
no excuse.
It isn't
no
an
excuse.
Yeah. There is time to go and make a difference in our nation.
And that's why our nation kind of looks the way it does.
Praying for our nation.
We keep praying.
Because the church has abdicated its role, and that's why.
One of the things, and I pray daily, my evening devotions are primarily focused. I start with prayers for this nation.
Good.
And
that's a good thing.
One of the things that I pray for consistently is ask the Lord to impassion Americans to be the patriotic people that we need to be.
Yeah.
And that's a work of the Spirit. You know, it's a choice that we're going to make, but to reintegrate our personal interests in America with God's plan for America. God had a plan. He still got one, by the way. He didn't give it up and walk away.
Can we say a quick prayer? Is that
yeah?
Do
let's
we have
do
time?
That. Yeah.
Because I have a verse. It says in Matthew 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
Amen.
And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we pray that the situation with the Democrats in Texas, California, Illinois, and wherever it's taking place would be fixed with your wisdom and truth, God, rather than the minds of men. We bind the lies and foolish actions of those who seek to disrupt the entire legislative process in the state of Texas. And I pray for those, Lord Jesus, who don't get involved, who don't care, Lord Jesus. Would you just give them, Lord God, that passion to get involved, that passion to follow what's going on. May we be Bereans also, Lord God, not only in the word, but in just studying what's coming to us, what's coming at us, so that we will walk in truth and lead in truth in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Ann. Thank you very much.
Can I say one thing before we get
you
off here?
Say,
I know we've got about 20 seconds.
30 seconds.
30
and
seconds.
That's
all right. Here's the deal. So as much as we have talked about Republican, Democrat today, I want to say that we are one nation, and I would ask that we love that we love our neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because if we do not, none of this is going to matter.
Yeah, because you're a sounding gong and a clanging cymbal if you don't
we
love.
We have to have the love.
1 Corinthians 13.
Yep.
Right. We cannot allow, even though there are two competing parties primarily, we cannot allow the devil to create the division that will to allow him to break to increase the division that's already there. Let's find a common ground to come together and actually dialogue with each other.
Amen.
And there you go. Well, thanks for listening. We appreciate your being with us. We'll be back next week.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David @A Biblical Response. Remember, when you are challenged by